Welcome once again to our college class here at Henderson Church of Christ. Today we're going to talk about opening doors of opportunity. As this semester has unfolded, when we look at things in a global scale, a national scale, or things locally and in our own lives, there's no question that you and I have seen, the world has seen, some exceptional times and circumstances. But today I'd like for us to think about what it is that opens in terms of doorways and opportunities in such exceptional times. For example, we ought to recognize that exceptional times present exceptional challenges. Simply going to the grocery store to get food, changing our schedules for work or staying home from work, changing the way that our classes may be conducted, or we just go about the business of our regular lives, it all is up in the air in some sense during such exceptional periods. However, exceptional times come all the time, we could say, at least in the sense that they're always a possibility for any generation. Now, the nature of what may be exceptional could change from time to time. In some cases, it may be a period of economic hardship. Other times it might be a physical challenge, health crisis like today. Maybe in other periods there's some type of violence or warfare or unrest. Whatever the case may be, it seems that every generation is challenged at times not only to enjoy the good and the peaceful periods, but also to cope with the challenges that might arise. So we should be encouraged by knowing that we're not the first to face challenges to make it through, and we won't be the last. That will only stop, of course, when the Lord comes. One of the things to also be able to recognize and really appreciate, I think, is that exceptional times also generate exceptional creativity. It's like people rise to the occasion. We don't enjoy these crises or challenges. It's not what we would ask for, necessarily. But when they come, I'm always amazed at the resilience of people to find a way to fight back, to push back, to overcome the obstacles that arise and try to make good happen, even in spite of these difficulties. I'm especially encouraged about that when it comes to the Lord's people. In one sense, all of us as Christians are members of communities, members of a country, or a sense of the population of the world. And so we interact with our communities and our neighbors and others in a way that's best for the circumstances and leaves the best possible influence and outcome. But I'm also amazed at the creativity that is manifested among the Lord's people in terms of practicing what we know of to be the Lord's activities, we could say. We look at the fact that you could turn on a television or a computer, and you can watch services being live streamed. It's true that some congregations are able to meet and they're able to go through normal circumstances because their particular circumstances are unique, and they allow that safely, wonderfully. But for many others, that's not the possibility. Every time I open Facebook or I look at other ways of interacting through media, I'm simply amazed and astounded at how many people are podcasting, how many congregations like Henderson are streaming their services so that people can take part, even if it's at a distance. There's still something of communion and fellowship there. We don't all have to be sitting 3 feet apart to say that we are linked together. Well, you look at the lessons, the gospel meetings that have been held virtually, things like that, and I'm appreciative of the creativity that has been expressed and demonstrated as people work out ways to continue functioning as God's people, even in spite of challenges. But I also recognize that exceptional times yield exceptional opportunities. We don't always know what doors of service might open. We don't know what conversations might be generated by someone who is seriously considering life issues and eternal life issues because the crisis has prompted that type of reflection. And if we see those opportunities arise, then maybe we can step through that doorway of opportunity and make a difference. Here are some ways that we can talk about making a difference, but as we look at what I'm about to suggest, I'd like for us to remember none of these are limited just to this springtime. Consider that what we're about to discuss can last for any time afterwards. In fact, it can become a norm for us in the high times and in the low, the successes and the challenges. Here are some things for us to think about when it comes to working and taking advantage of opportunities in exceptional times. In these doors of opportunity, there is this opportunity for us to grow personally. Yes, emotionally, yes, intellectually, but I'm really thinking about growing and advancing spiritually, becoming the people that God wants us to be more fully, we might say, growing to be more like Christ every day. Maybe you've had some time and opportunity, given current circumstances, to spend some energy in spiritual pursuits that maybe you hadn't had the same amount of time available for in the past. Maybe it involves sitting down with a pad of paper and a pencil and studying God's Word and allowing His message to fill up our minds and our hearts. That is something we'll never regret, taking advantage of an opportunity like this. But I remind us that it's not just about the acquisition of information. We can talk about growing in knowledge, that's true. But the Bible also talks about wisdom, growing in wisdom. I think that it's been well said that wisdom is knowledge knowing how to act or understanding how to use knowledge based upon the circumstances. Wisdom is knowledge put into practice, we might say. And that's one of the things that the Lord wants for us, is not only to continue to grow in knowing Him, knowing ourselves, and knowing the Christian mission, but being able to understand how to use these principles and teachings day in and day out, in whatever circumstances we may come across, whatever opportunities may present themselves to us. I take the words here from the closing of 2 Peter, but Peter says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Can I say that at the end of this process, I am more dependent upon God, I am more thoughtful towards my fellow human beings, I am more willing to acknowledge what really matters in life versus the things that are more transitory and maybe less important than I thought 6 months or a year ago? Can I say that I've come through this process, helping to encourage others to be healthy and strong spiritually? You see, that's the type of growth that we can focus on as we look in the mirror, look to ourselves. Our Bible is filled with statements about how individuals look to grow personally before they ever thought about what they might do interacting helpfully with those who are around them. And we're the same way. But we want to do like Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. For the Bible says that this tremendous priest and scribe, Ezra, he made the determination that he was going to seek the law of the Lord. Number one, what does God say? Number two, he was going to do the law of the Lord. And then number three, he was going to teach to other people the law of the Lord. If we come out of this period of challenge by saying that we have grown in our knowledge of God, our dependence, and our willingness to live and focus upon things that matter in His sight, then we'll have made something good come out of even difficulties or hardship. But what I would encourage is that we not leave that kind of determination, recognition, that aspiration, that we not leave it just in the spring of 2020. What about this summer? What about in the fall? Maybe a year or two or 3 years down the road, can I still say that I am as intent on growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as I might be today? There's no reason that my desire to advance and to be more like Christ should be limited only to times of serious difficulty or crisis. I can grow and progress, and so can you, throughout whatever it is that the future may hold. Another aspect of opening doors of opportunity that we can continue to go through has to do with what I'll call benevolent occasions. We've talked about how, over the last few studies, people are rising up or can rise up and help those who are at a disadvantage or some limitation. We might be helping someone who's impaired and mobility, like this image shows. We've talked about how maybe we can assist our neighbors by helping to do things that are routine but important, a trip to the grocery store or to pick up medicines or other things that are needed. We've talked about being able to help out even at a socially acceptable distance with people who need to maintain routine maintenance, we might say, doing yard work or in other ways helping people in difficulties. I love that that's happened and people are willing to do that. I would just encourage us to consider that it doesn't have to stop when this pandemic issue is finally set to the side. Maybe during this time period, we are more cognizant of the humanity that we share with our fellow human beings. Maybe these circumstances have caused us to reflect upon what we see around us. Maybe it's very easy for Rick previously to have gone around and thought things were just fine because they were fine in my life. Maybe I wasn't quite as aware of the challenges that others might face from time to time. And if I'm not aware, then I'm not prepared and capable of helping in the way that I might otherwise be able to help. But you know, if I can see, like in this image, that there are people who struggle, and I'm cognizant of that, then I can help. And I can do that at any point. It may not be facing a pandemic or a crisis of a large scale like this. It may be a crisis just in one person's life. But if I can see the humanity in my fellow human beings, then my heart is going to be more geared to want to assist with whatever it is that they may need. I don't have to do that in just limited spaces and times. And then I would remind us that it's not just about helping with things. It's wonderful to be able to take someone food or to be able to help somebody who needs a helping hand. No question. Those aren't all the ways that we can act benevolently on behalf of other people. It might be that somebody could use a hug. With all of the violence and the hatred and the disrespect that is displayed from time to time in our world, isn't it great to think that we could be a shoulder to cry on, that we could bridge gaps with our fellow human beings, that we could show a tender, Christ-like heart and compassion toward people who are struggling with whatever it may be. It may be emotion, it may be fear, it may be anger, it may be impatience, it might be worry or distress. It doesn't matter. All of those things come to the front every once in a while for anyone. Is it possible for us in our awareness of the situations of humanity to be someone that can give a listening ear or a warm embrace or a word of comfort and encouragement? As I think about all of this, I'm reminded of the words of Paul. This is one of my favorite passages in all of Paul's writings. Not because it's so difficult to comprehend. In fact, it isn't at all. The reason it's my favorite, or among my favorites, is because of the significance that it represents. Paul is writing a letter to the church in Corinth. He'd written another letter previously. But in this one, as he's talking about what he wishes for them and wants to see in relationship to them, I love the simplicity and yet the significance of what he says here. He said, I do not seek what is yours, but you. I will most gladly spend and be spent for your souls. For all of the times in history that people have used religion of any kind, as a tool to take advantage of others or to advance self, that is the very opposite of what's expressed right here. What Paul is simply saying as he writes to these Christians is, I don't want your stuff. I'm interested in you as a person. And if it takes somebody giving or spending, he said, I will expend. My goal is to reach out and help you. That's what I mean when I speak about continuing opportunities for benevolence. Benevolence is a lovely word. It's two parts put together. That front part, bene, gives us the word good. It's related to the word good. And the volens part at the end has to do with wishing or wanting or like voluntary. It has to do with the will or desire. So benevolence is simply the expression of goodwill towards someone else. One of the things I love most about Christianity is that Christianity tells us to put away the ugly, that which would take advantage of, that would hurt others, and instead to take up what matters in helping others, Christianity lifts us up to the most noble and sublime positions. It's because it's predicated upon a God and the activities of Christ who love and who feel and who have compassion and mercy. And that's what God is asking us to manifest as well. As we come into the summer and go beyond, I encourage us to recognize that all of the goodwill that we can express toward other people should still be expressed even when these difficulties pass. Can we be as thoughtful towards others and as service-minded in whatever way when we move through the future as we may have been and may have seen in the last few months? Finally, I want to talk about evangelistic outreach and the opportunities that may be still ahead of us. This is an image from a church in La Fortuna, Costa Rica. I've mentioned this one before in a previous lesson. I had the opportunity to travel and be a part of a campaign in Costa Rica with some fellow gospel preachers. We're in that image there. We also had the opportunity to go just a few miles away to a much smaller community called Zona Fluca. In those cases, we had Bible studies, walking down the roadways, sitting on front porches, talking with people about Jesus the Christ. Our goal was to try to introduce people to the gospel and help them to walk close to God. We'd assist in any way that we could. But the reason I bring this up is many of you may have gone on campaigns like this, and I wonder if you've had an experience similar to what we had by the time we wrapped up this trip. Even though we were predominantly gospel preachers and teachers who made this particular campaign, our spirits were revived by what we did. We were encouraged by the experiences that we had. And there was a general feeling as we made our way back to the United States that that same type of enthusiasm and vigor needed to be present when we got home. We didn't need to leave it in a foreign place. This image is from a number of years ago. I was able to go on spring break to Jamaica. And in this particular case, we went to St. Anne's Bay, Jamaica. I'm traveling here with college students. We went with the students from Texas State University and had a week-long campaign. It was fabulous. I know that the members of the congregation and the people of the community that we interacted with, they seem to have had a great experience. What I really want to focus on is the fact that we travelers had a fabulous experience. Challenges, adjustments, sure. But the experience of being able to spend the days talking with other people about God and about Christ, it was significant for us. And what I remember is that as we had our kind of debrief meeting right before we returned back to the United States, what I remember is listening to the students who among themselves said, when we get back home, we want to have Bible studies like this with our neighbors and our friends. We want to canvas communities. We want to do evangelistic outreach at home the way that we've been doing here in St. Anne's Bay. I love to hear it. But what they were recognizing was it doesn't have to stay limited here in this island nation. And then finally, this is a group of people, again back to Jamaica, that I was able to travel with. These were not college students. They were not just gospel preachers. These were some middle-aged members of the congregation where we worshiped who had never gone on a campaign like this before. And we went to Monique, Jamaica, a nearby community, not too far from St. Anne's Bay. We did the same thing. We had gospel meeting through the week. We had Bible studies during the day, talking with individuals and people. We had such a good experience. I think the Jamaicans, the brethren, and the people there had a good experience interacting with us. But quite frankly, maybe the most affected people were we, the travelers. I remember listening to this group of middle-aged Christians, just lovely, lovely persons, never done anything like this before. And before we made it home, they were already talking about the fact that they wanted to be just as engaged, just as willing to sit and talk with somebody about the gospel in the United States as we were in Jamaica. What's consistent about all of these stories? Different groups, yes. Different times and different places, yes. But in every instance, the experience was so positive that each group independently, individually, made the comments that they wanted to come back to the States and not leave their evangelistic zeal in this other place they had visited. Now, I mention that because we may have had the opportunity to talk with people about the gospel during this pandemic. It may be that people have been more willing to listen during this pandemic. But if there have been additional opportunities that have surfaced during this time, and we have been attentive to that and willing to engage, I want to encourage you to consider that same level of enthusiasm and engagement as we move past this pandemic. There's no reason that I and that you cannot be just as motivated to want to talk with others about Christ and to point them toward heaven. There's nothing that we've experienced that's good like this that has to stop. It doesn't even have to reduce. In fact, it can continue to grow and to expand. I recognize that Paul once mentioned this type of idea, doors of opportunity opening. In Colossians 4 and verse 3, he said, "Pray for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ." What does Paul say? He simply means, please pray that we have additional opportunities that rise before us so that we can take advantage and continue to teach and preach the good news. And if Paul can pray for those opportunities to continue, then so can I and so can you. In all of the things that we've talked about, I look at this as a fulfillment in some ways of what Jesus spoke here in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:16. After talking about salt and talking about a city on a hill and a light for a lampstand, he simply closed that little section by saying, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." All of the good that has arisen out of this challenging time does not have to stop or end. If we recognize what's happened and we see all of the best that can still continue, and I hope that we will be zealous and enthusiastic, invigorated to continue to let our good works be visible and impact the world around us with the result that people are not praising us. That's not the reason for it. With the result that people are now looking heavenward if they weren't before. That they're more cognizant of God if they weren't before. That they are thinking about spiritual matters to a heightened degree wherever they stood before. Jesus spoke in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, words that I believe have general value to all readers. He depicted himself as standing at a door and knocking. "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me." The greatest door of opportunity is not a door to a college or university. It's not a door to a new job or to an internship. It is a doorway into the family of God, into Christianity, that will ultimately result in entering the doorway into heaven. May we carry forward with us all of the goodwill, all of the love for God and love for neighbor that would prompt us to live for Christ and make a positive impact on the world around us, not just in the challenging times, but in whatever times and whatever circumstances lie ahead. May God bless us in letting our light continue to shine.